This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We have 30 minutes to go, and then Sports Talk will take over as we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Braden Gall from 440sports.com. Braden, appreciate the time as always. I thought about not having you on. You know, I'm a Braves fan. I saw in your most recent, one of your most recent 440 Sports videos that you posted, you're talking to Wes Ruckert. You're wearing a Mets jersey. So we still wanted to have you on because we love you, but this is under protest today.
That's fair, and what's really funny is that I was doing that to make myself look like a clown, because I have long which I don't have to normally try very hard to do, by the way. I have long believed that grown adult men do not look good in jerseys past the age of like 18, outside of being in the stadium or being at your house, you know, maybe at a Super Bowl party, whatever. Like, there's certain caveats to this. But by and large, if you're just like going to the grocery store to go pick up a few things, wearing a jersey, a sports jersey with another person's name on it is one of the most ridiculous things I think grown men can do. So in sort of full making fun of myself mode, I decided, you know, on Mets opening day part two, because of course COVID took that from me. I decided to go full on and violate all of my man code rules, which was, I wore like three items of the same team. I think there's a rule that you can't wear more than two items of the same sports team. As a Nashvilleian, if I see somebody walking around with an Alabama hat on and an Alabama t-shirt on, I don't need to talk to that person. Like, I've already judged them for all the things that I need to know about them. So I wore a Mets hat with a Mets t-shirt and a Mets jersey, and celebrated Jacob DeGrom Day in perfect fashion, which is, of course, six innings of shutout baseball with no run support at all. So.
Go back. It's good to have it back. Oh, normalcy. We've been looking for normalcy, and the Mets found it to start the week.
Right, exactly.
I absolutely love that rundown, Braden. But I do find myself in the camp. Baseball jerseys are totally fine. If you ever put on a basketball jersey as a grown adult, you just have lost me. Like, points.
Yeah, you better be, and like, you are clearly more qualified to speak on what looks good on a man than I am. But I would say, unless you are ripped up, you can't be wearing basketball jerseys. Like, no one's going to look good in a basketball jersey. Like, you better be throwing up plates if you're going to be wearing basketball jerseys. But I tend to agree. Like, I don't, again, I think at the games, football, basketball, baseball, whatever, you know, hockey, whatever. You can wear whatever you want. You can paint your face. You don't have to wear a shirt at a game. Like, I don't care. All bets are off at the stadium. You do whatever you want. At your house, all bets are off. Do whatever you want. You know, running errands around town. I don't know. Just think twice before you put on a jersey with another human being's name on the back of it, you know?
Braden Gall is with us, 440 Sports. It's kind of just an updated question from last week when you were on with us, but I'm curious what you continue to take out of Knoxville with all of the questions and all of the subjects that still surround Josh Heupel getting things started with Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know how harsh it is to say, and Wes said this on the show that you referenced already, was just like that people need to have a little bit of some clear eyes on this. That we're in a rebuild mode, that expectations are low. And I think people do. I think, you know, I haven't talked to many Vols fans. Most of my friends who, you know, fellow alumni or whatever, they're not walking around texting me going like, oh, 9 dubs this year. Like, I don't think people think that. So I think there's some reasonable expectations there. I do believe that talking to people around the program, that there's at least some fun back in the program for the players. And I think that goes a long way, at least in the spring. It may not matter as far as wins and losses, but when you're trying to start something from scratch, sort of tear down something and then rebuild something, I think it helps that people are in a good mood, you know, especially after 2020, where everyone was sort of just stressed to the max in general, players more so than anybody. Just they were asked to do so much during last season and all through 2020. So doing that with Jeremy Pruitt, who won me over a little bit with how he handled the social issues in the summertime, but clearly players are just like, I can't be around this guy anymore. Like, it's just so much stuff. It's so intense. And I do think that it's a welcome change, which is pretty normal. Like, when you see a disciplinarian get fired at any level, generally it goes back to the player's coach, and then a player's coach gets fired and goes back to the disciplinarian. You know, we see that time and time again in the SEC. So I think that's a big positive that maybe I didn't have sort of front of mind when we entered spring practice, that I think now that we've seen a week or so and some change of work, I think, you know, kids actually enjoying themselves is going to, they're going to, you know, happy, healthy employee is a productive employee, even if they're amateurs. So I think that's a good thing for Tennessee. I don't know if that translates in the fall, you know, to wins and losses, but I think it certainly translates into laying the foundation for a cultural change.
How do you think Josh Heupel has handled the situation with Caden Salter and the other players that, you know, were arrested previously on the dorm room incident, and then now also with Aaron Beasley being cited for animal cruelty and his indefinite suspension? Just how do you think Josh Heupel is handling those situations, and how do you see those situations progressing forward?
Well, like at the same time as saying, hey, it's a little bit lighter and people are going to have more fun, what's the immediate criticism of that style of culture, right? Like, oh, loose ship, right? Like, that's the immediate criticism. So coaches can never win. Listen, he didn't recruit these guys. These aren't people that he went out and got to know for years on end, knowing their families and bringing to campus. So I don't really think you put a whole lot of it on him at all as far as what's taken place. You know, I think the Aaron Beasley story, again, I'm not as familiar with that one, but from what I know about it, you sort of have to – that one I just – I'm not even sure I have a comment on that one, because it's just – The other stuff, I think kids on campus doing stupid stuff is pretty normal. You know, a lot of those charges are going to be dropped, from my understanding, correct? So if not, some have already been dropped. So it's, you know, I know this is maybe unpopular to some people. It doesn't, you know, if you tell me that kids are on campus, you know, drinking alcohol underage or smoking weed, like, I'm sorry, I'm just not surprised by it. Like, it just doesn't shock me. It just doesn't startle me. It should not startle anybody. And I think the message for children, for kids coming up, shouldn't be like, you know, don't ever look at this. Don't ever think about this. Don't ever acknowledge that this exists, because it's just going to be in your face for your entire college life. I think it should be, learn how to handle it appropriately like an adult and understand that there's consequences to your actions. And I think that's sort of always the way I've viewed that kind of stuff. You know, I think it was Juwan Jennings that was busted for, like, the first time, was, like, driving around campus, right, like, smoking weed. And I'm going, why are you doing that? Like, what? Just sit in your apartment. Like, what? Like, again, I'm not suggesting everyone should go do this, but you have to be taught to act responsibly, because eventually our young people have to be able to make decisions for themselves. And so, again, I think how you go about doing all this stuff in college, which we know is going to happen, we can't stop it from happening. All we can do is prepare young people to handle themselves the best possible way they can and understand that there's consequences. And so I think sending a message to young, getting back to your question about Heupel, sending a message to these group of guys, like, saying, hey, this kind of stuff isn't tolerated. It's, we've got to be better than this, make smarter decisions, consequences to your actions, parenting, you know, all that good stuff. And then maybe handling it like he has. So far, I don't have any complaints about it. The animal thing is a little, that one's a little trickier. I need to be honest with you guys, I need to read some more details about that one before I have a really strong comment about Aaron Beasley.
Yep.
Braden Gall is with us, 440 Sports. And then in the basketball world, we know that the offseason is going to be very active with transfers, and we've seen coaching moves already. And then today we saw Sean Miller let go at Arizona, and he's been a part of that NCAA FBI situation for the last several years. I saw you note on Twitter you think Will Wade's next, and I've actually thought the last couple of years, with fans saying, how has nothing happened? Well, I think the answer is because he wins, but we don't know that nothing will happen in the end. Do you think there's a chance Will Wade is out this offseason at LSU?
I don't know, guys. Like, it's beyond comprehension to me that Miller and Wade were employed to this point. It's the Todd Gurley thing, right? Like, I go back to the Todd Gurley autograph thing. Just because we all think the rule is kind of stupid, and we all think that, you know, a kid should be able to sign some autographs and make a little cash on the side, or just because very few of us, and again, not everybody, but very few of us have a problem any longer with semi-pro athletes getting paid a little money on the side. Like, morally, most of us, society has sort of come through the eye of the needle on that, and we're all kind of on the other side going, like, whatever, like, it's not that big a deal. But if it's the rule and it's in place and you're on tape breaking it, doesn't the NCAA have to do something? And so that's sort of where I'm at with this. It's just like, I don't I don't understand how you can get away with it. And of course, Sean Miller parts ways, whatever that means, from Arizona. Are they further along in the investigation process with the NCAA? That certainly could be some explanation for why LSU hasn't done this. The other thing to consider with LSU is they just did nothing about it, like a 6-year sexual assault cover-up with their football program. And if you're going to do nothing with that, basically, and let Les Miles take the blame for it. Now, don't get me wrong, he was a total creep. And I've been around him personally and been, like, weirded out by his behavior. So I just, like, that's, they got fired, him F. Long from Kansas. And you're going to put, like, a couple of, you know, administrative people on suspension for a month for what you did at the football department? That's, like, that's another thing. Like, clearly LSU doesn't care. So if LSU doesn't care, like you said, winning, and we're just going to, like, look right at the camera and just tell everybody that they shot someone on Fifth Avenue, like, if that's the way, if that's where we're at in sports and college football right now, in college basketball, why would LSU change? Like, they don't even care about the fact that, like, dozens of women were being assaulted on their campus. Why would they care if Will Wade's on tape paying a kid a couple dollars? Like, I, you know, like, from a moral standpoint, I don't even care about Will Wade relative to the other stuff. And they're not even doing anything about that. So it's all just weird. You know, it's just weird times we live in, man, where you can just kind of, like, that Will Wade press conference from a couple years ago is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. They were like, yes, we totally cheated, and no, we're not doing anything about it. Like, I've never seen anything like that. Like, have you guys ever seen anything like that? I haven't.
Nope, but no. I think the short answer is Will Wade wins more than what Sean Miller has. Bill Self wins more than Sean Miller.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, he did win the SEC title that year, right? Wasn't he suspended when they clinched the SEC title when, like, the whole thing broke? Like, I think he wasn't even on the – I don't think he was even in the building when they, like
– It's a weird time.
His name and, like – yeah, I think they were chanting his name while he wasn't there and then, like, trying to fire the athletic director at the same time. And, like, the fans were, like, fire Oliva, I think. Or maybe – I don't know what was going on. But, like they were an 8 seed. Like, they kind of underachieved this year, right? Like, they almost beat Michigan in the tournament, but it wasn't like they were – I mean, I guess they were, you know, top four in the SEC, so I guess you can complain about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Braden, what else is going on? No, it's a busy time at 440 Sports.
Yeah, 440 every single morning. You check that out. Keep you up to date on all things Tennessee sports, all the way from the Grizzlies up to the Vols. Heavy focus on University of Tennessee and Vanderbilt as far as college sports go. I know we got a really awesome baseball series coming up in 2 weeks up there that I think people down here are pretty excited about, actually, in Nashville. So keep an eye on that. We had Ryan McGee on the show last week on Fringe Element, Josh Kendall on the show this week from The Athletic talking coaching hires as well. Fringe Element out every single Thursday, Gold Standard Predators podcast out every single Wednesday, and Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, of course, of ESPN and formerly of Bleacher Report, on our media podcast, really goes behind the scenes on what actually is happening right now in NFL media circles. And it is fascinating. Like, it is grown adult men soap opera nonsense. Like, it is hilarious. And that's coming out on Friday on Lamestream Sports. So check that out as well. Also, brand new soccer podcast. We got the guys who just launched Club and Country every Tuesday, cover Nashville SC. That season's getting started here pretty soon. So we've got everything covered in the state of Tennessee from a sports standpoint. We'd like to thank 440 Sports is your place for all the pods. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Download, subscribe for sure. 440 Sports. Hey, Braden, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
At Braden Gall on Twitter, he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll come back for our final segment, our top five contenders for the Masters. So now you know who will not win. We'll have that for you coming up next, and then Sports Talk at 3 on the Sports Animal.